profits at tutoring companies have become Beijing's latest target. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Another wave of regulatory crackdowns sent Hong Kong's benchmark stock index down more than 4% today, and it's education companies offering mentoring and test prep services that are providing the biggest drag. Authorities in Beijing say they're concerned families are spending too much money on after-school tutoring and putting too much pressure on their kids to achieve high academic performance. David Kuo, founder of the Smart Investor in Singapore, explains how that's affected stock markets today.
Many education companies have to now go for the non-profit status. In China's view, these companies are making too much money. So what we saw today was New Oriental Education and Technology Group, Cool Learn Technology, and China Best Study Education Group. Their shares fell about a third on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. China recently said they wanted the population size amongst families to grow because of this aging population that they have. And when you get families saying it's too expensive to educate children, China has stepped in and said, well, maybe the solution is to get these private tutoring companies to charge less in order to provide the education that the kids need.
And so by making them a nonprofit, what happens to these companies now?
Well, they're not going to make any money. This is almost like a follow-on from what has happened over in the tech sector, because we saw recently Didi Chuxing, the ride-hailing app that listed in the U.S., and they're saying that this company may eventually have to delist from the U.S. and put its listing back into China. So a lot seems to be happening at the moment, which is quite disturbing for investors.
David Kuo, founder of The Smart Investor. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Also weighing on the Hang Seng today, shares of Tencent plunged 7.7%. That's amid the ongoing big tech crackdown in China. Regulators have barred that company from exclusive music copyright agreements and issued a fine for unfair market practices. Meanwhile, the Shanghai Composite Index slumped 2.3% today as Beijing launched a blistering attack on the U.S., accusing it of demonizing China in order to keep it down. It said the U.S. had turned China into an imagined enemy to cover up its own problems. Elsewhere across Europe, benchmarks are down in the 0.2% to 0.5% range. To Australia now, where police say they will no longer tolerate anti-lockdown protests as an outbreak of the coronavirus Delta variant in Sydney worsens. It comes after thousands of demonstrators took to the streets over the weekend, defying the city's COVID-19 restrictions. Health officials fear the protests could become a mass spreading event, as the BBC's Phil Mercer explains.
The hunt for the ringleaders of Saturday's wild anti-lockdown demonstrations in Sydney is continuing. Dozens of people have been charged. The New South Wales Police Commissioner Mick Fuller said any repeat of the unrest this weekend would be met by a significant show of force. A lockdown in South Australia will end on Tuesday, but there are fears that stay-at-home orders in Sydney and surrounding regions will again be extended. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
The Indian government says it's stepping up its vaccination program as the country opens up after a brutal second wave of the coronavirus. Despite being a large producer of COVID vaccines, there's been criticism in the country that it's been slow to administer doses. Only a third of adults have had one dose, and just 5% are fully vaccinated. But there are some glimmers of hope. The BBC's Rajani Vaidyanathan reports from one district that has managed to get one dose to the vast majority of its adults, against all odds.
There are many challenges when it comes to delivering vaccines to remote parts of India. Here in the Changlang district, those challenges start with a deep freezer. Purnima Das is the health worker here.
This is a hilly area which is windy and we have regular storms. So there's a problem with electricity, but now that has been solved.
With one problem down, Purnima unloads dozens of vials from the freezer into a cool box with ice packs, ready to go.
So we're just leaving the health centre now, and we are going on the school bus, which is today being used to transport the vaccines, which have a seat of their own.
We trekked with Latgam Singpu and his team of vaccinators.
Difficult to bahut zyada hai.
It's very difficult. We struggle a lot. We go by foot, boats, or by hanging bridges. There are some very dangerous places here as well.
With COVID cases rising in the state, health workers have been picking up the pace of their vaccine drive. Their efforts have paid off. This district's outperformed many parts of India, getting doses out to more than 80% of adults here. Nationally, only a third have had one shot. Officials have used all kinds of incentives to boost uptake, offering free rice and umbrellas to people who turn up and giving cash prizes to health centres which administer the most doses. After three gruelling hours, we make it to our destination.
A wooden building, which is actually the primary school, which is today being turned into a vaccination centre. And actually, there's probably around 20 people already here lined up, ready to take a vaccine.
That's quite a turnaround. It took months for local health workers to convince villagers to get a vaccine.
We live in a remote village. We don't get much information from the outside world. We heard rumours about the vaccine, but the health workers convinced us to take it.
Inside the school building, Lakgam and his team get to work.
I'm glad that the villagers turned out in good numbers. There's been a good response. It's our duty to keep everyone safe here.
With their work done, it's another three-hour trek back. This district might be leading the way, but with only 6% of the population fully vaccinated, India still has a long way to go.
That's the BBC's Rajini Vaidyanathan reporting from the northeast of India there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.